everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. I am your host, Dr. Linda Mintel, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, and every weekend we're here, we're doing life together, and we're always glad that you joined us.
That's right, Dr. Linda. Fantastic to be back again, yet another weekend.
That's good. We like being here every weekend.
That's right, every weekend. We've got a great show today, and I'm surprised, actually, that we haven't talked about today's topic sooner. This is something that you will likely see in your family and with your friends or even in your workplace. It's the problem of codependency.
Well, I think most of us, Chris, don't you think most people have heard that term, codependency?
Definitely. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you've heard the term enable. Have you heard enable or enabler, or is that just a really clinical term? Is that a term you've heard on the sort of on the street?
You hear it once in a while, yeah. Hey, you enabler.
Yeah. I don't know if that's exactly how you hear it. But what we're going to do is we're going to spend some time understanding what that means, what it means to be codependent or an enabler, and why it's unhealthy and how to help someone so that they don't have to be an enabler in a relationship.
We have all heard the word codependent. Give us a basic idea of what it actually means.
So here's what experts say. They say that it's a pattern of behavior. So we're talking about a consistent pattern of behavior that somebody has in which you find yourself somewhat dependent on approval from someone else. You're looking at that other person for your self-worth, for your self-identity. And when you're in a codependent relationship, you feel like you have to take care of that other person at all costs in order to have some kind of love and attention from that person.
So is codependency more about what a person does to maintain an unhealthy relationship?
Yeah, it's usually that lack of a confrontation that a person has with somebody else. So there's a real problem. The person is very hesitant to confront it, and they have this excessive emotional and physical and psychological reliance upon that relationship to the point, Chris, that the relationship is really dysfunctional for all the reasons we're going to talk about in just a few minutes.
I've heard of stories of people who give money and food or even drugs to addicts because they fear what might happen if things were different. And I believe this is what you were saying was enabling. So why do we do this?
Well, sometimes you can trace it back to a family in which a person might have a sick person in the family and the sole focus was on that person. And so every attention and every effort goes to taking care of that person. And that sometimes carries with you into adulthood. Or there might have been some serious problems that tend to be pushed under the rug. So there were issues in the family like alcoholism or maybe mental illness or something where people weren't dealing with it and everybody was pretending that everything was okay. And what happens is when children come from families like that, they learn to avoid their feelings and their emotions, and they learn to define themselves through the behaviors of other people. And so their success, their failures, their identity seems to be all wrapped up in that other person. But here's the thing, Chris, at the very core of that is a belief that the codependent person really thinks that they're unlovable or they're unworthy. And so they have to stay in these very unhealthy, sometimes we'd even call them destructive relationships, especially when we're talking about like drug addiction, when somebody's drug addicted and there's a real danger that somebody could die. And the codependent person stays in that relationship, doesn't confront the problem, doesn't get the person, you know, doesn't push for help. The person has to want help. But there's really a deep down fear that if they do those things, they're going to be abandoned. And so they just don't use what we would call is good sense.
Must be a terrible way to live. It's a sort of a dark outlook
on
yourself and others around you.
That's the thing, is people believe that they're being very caring and they're being very helpful to somebody.
Well, Dr. Linda, you have a short quiz that might clue us in if we are codependent. The first question is this. Are you unable to find satisfaction in your life outside of a specific person?
So that's a really good place to start. Right. Another question would be, do you recognize unhealthy behavior in the other person, but then deny that behavior as being a problem?
And question number three is, are you giving support to the other person at the cost of your own mental, emotional, and physical health?
And so if you answered yes to any of those, or to all three of those especially, you need to really start thinking about what we're talking about today. What is your role in the relationship that you're in? You know, because I know a woman whose husband is an alcoholic, but she bails him out of trouble all the time. He never has to face the consequences for his actions. And all the kids see it in the family, and she's constantly making excuses for him. And this is a good example of what codependency can look like. She's rescuing him from his problems. In this case, it's the drinking problem that he's not addressing.
So in a sense, the codependent person is accommodating the unhealthy or irresponsible behavior. The codependent person is helping this person stay in that unhealthy place.
Yeah, and that's the problem, is that you're contributing in some ways to their staying in that place. Now, you're not responsible for what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I want to be really clear about that. That person is choosing to drink or choosing to do something that's unhealthy. But you don't help the person by making excuses or covering up for the way they're behaving. They're living in a denial about the consequences mm-hmm. of their actions, and in some ways you're helping them with that.
You know, one thing concerning relationships that I've always found to be important are clear boundaries.
You and Cloud and Townsend, right, for the boundaries book.
That's right. I read the book. That's right.
It's a good book.
Right. But poor boundaries are one of the main symptoms of codependency. And say more about this.
Well, boundaries have to do, as you know, with you understanding what your part of the problem is versus what someone else's part is. And when you start to be responsible for other people, you're what we call violating a boundary. You're taking on too much, or you're invading their space, or they're invading your space one way or another. So in codependency, that person feels responsible and guilty for the other person's feelings and actions. Yet, you know, we know this in our head that no one is responsible for someone else's behavior, but we have to remind ourselves people always have a choice to do what they do, but sometimes we just feel responsible for their behavior, and that's the problem of codependency.
We'll talk about the role of shame in codependency as one of the underlying causes of what motivates a person to take on this overly helpful role.
So if we think back on sort of that core belief that I was talking about before, codependent people feel like they're basically flawed in some way, and somehow they're unlovable. And at the root of that really is a feeling of shame. And it often starts in childhood, like we were talking about. And even with kids who may have, you know, decent parenting, the child somehow takes that parenting as rejecting. They feel ashamed, even if it's not meant to be. And some parents who are actually very loving can behave in ways that may not communicate that they love their child. And so you've got a sensitive kid who's maybe feeling like they're not good enough, they're not worthy enough, and they start to have this really sort of empty love tank that they take with them to their adulthood. And that can be shameful at times.
Well, Dr. Linda, if someone is thinking about whether they might be dealing with codependency right now, after the break, we've got 10 signs to identify codependency. And we will go through those right after this break on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Okay, let's be honest. There are times when we eat just because life is tense, or the kids are driving you crazy, or we feel anxious or insecure about a relationship with a friend or a spouse, right? Food might just be too available, or I can't help myself, or it feels so good to dive into the ice cream sundae. We have a million excuses, but the truth is, sometimes we just eat out of emotion, not need. You know, it happens to all of us. So how do we fix the problem? Well, here's a quick prescription, and it begins with press pause. If you follow this simple plan, you can say goodbye to mindless eating and hello to the joys of eating. When you press pause, you slow down and begin to listen to your body. Am I truly hungry? What's going on around me that makes me want to put something in my mouth? So here's how to pause. We're going to spell it out. The P stands for purpose. Purpose to delay immediate gratification. Then the A stands for attend. Attend to the moment, but also be mindful of the future and how your immediate decision might be the one you regret later. Next is the U. Understand that your good intentions and even your willpower don't win the impulsive eating battle. You need a healthy dose of God help. Then the S, strategize. Find ways to incorporate God's help. You invite the Holy Spirit to work within you, and you'll discover His strength to improve your self-control. And then finally, the E, execute those changes. So to eat without emotion, press pause before you eat.
If you'd like more on this simple plan, check out Dr. Linda's book, Press Pause Before You Eat, available online. You can win this battle. Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Just a reminder that you can follow Dr. Linda on social media or go to her website, drlindamental.com. And today's topic is codependency. And Dr. Linda, I know that people who get help for codependency will tell you that other people saw their codependency long before they did.
That's really true. It's always easier for someone else to see it than you. And that's part of the problem. That's one of the reasons why sometimes in families it's so tough. Family members get upset and mad at each other because somebody sees it and the other person doesn't. But if you are a real friend to somebody or you have a loved one that you really know needs help, especially, Chris, when we're talking about addiction or something very serious, you really do need to talk to that person and say, here's what I'm seeing. I don't want you to get mad at me, but I'm really seeing this problem.
Well, Dr. Linda, you have a list of questions that make us think about our role in a relationship concerning codependency. These are specific behaviors to think about.
They are. So let's start with these. First of all, we kind of mentioned this. Do you avoid confrontation? Second question is, do you neglect your needs to attend to others first? And we kind of mentioned that at the very beginning of the show as well. Do you accept verbal or physical abuse by others? Now, isn't that an interesting one, Chris? Because most people are going to go, of course I don't.
Right.
But I think part of it is people don't recognize that they're accepting that kind of verbal abuse. Have you ever noticed that when you're around a couple and you hear the way they talk to each other and you think, oh, it's Norm and I get what we call the wince factor. We kind of go, ooh.
Yeah.
So that's one. Do you take responsibility for the actions of others? So again, feeling responsible.
Would that include as well someone who makes lots of excuses for the other person and their bad behavior?
Well, it's a little bit different because you're excusing the behavior, but you can take responsibility. So let's say you do have somebody who's verbally abusive and you go, well, you know, that's just the way your dad talks.
I see.
You're taking responsibility for it. You know, your dad's upset. He's really upset. We probably upset him and made him mad at us, which is probably why he's talking the way he is. And then one that we mentioned, do you feel shame when others make mistakes? Number six is, do you do more than your share at work, home, or in organizations? Are you always the one that's doing everything? You know, it's like, I guess church people could be codependent because what's the saying? 20% of the people do all the work.
And there is always that poor soul at church who does, in fact, do everything. And when Sunday rolls around, they look so tired. They've been working so hard all week.
And we can think of one in our choir who always does that, who always helps out no matter what. So maybe we ought to confront him as being codependent. What do you think?
You can.
Okay, number seven, do you ask for help? Because a lot of times people that are codependent, don't ask for help, probably because of that shame in most cases. Number eight is, do you need others' validation to feel good about yourself? So can you think about that one? Because if you have to have the person telling you you're okay, you're always working for their approval, I think is what is behind that one. Number nine is, do you think everyone's feelings are more important than your own? So you can see how that happens in marriages quite often where, well, I can't really say anything. It's really not that important. Or my husband works really hard, so my needs are really not that important.
I think you're about to get into this with the last point, but there's a level of self-loathing seems to happen here.
Yeah, and remember, it's that core belief that I'm really not okay and I'm really not good enough. Because number 10 is, do you suffer from low self-esteem? So those are 10 questions. If you listen to us just now and you're thinking, wow, I can tick off about 6 or 7 of those, you might want to start thinking that maybe you're in a codependent relationship.
What's the danger to a relationship where there is codependency?
Well, you kind of said it. We were kind of teasing about it, but you can get really burned out and you can get exhausted. When your needs are not being met and you're constantly covering for the other person or taking care of the other person or making excuses for the other person, are you hearing it in my voice? I'm getting exhausted even now as I talk.
Right.
Because that is exhausting work to do. And what happens is you begin to neglect all your other relationships on top of that. And if you're the enabler, the one who's promoting the other person's dysfunction, what you're really doing, if you think about it, is you're stopping them from feeling the consequences of their actions. And so then there's really no motivation for change. And you're a father of small children.
Right.
But if they never had any consequences from their actions, would they want to change?
I don't see why.
Yeah.
They don't want to change now with me working on them.
That's right. So if you never gave them a consequence,
right.
I think that's one of the ways to think about it. Your kids would not be motivated to change. So you are not helping the person, even though you think you're helping the person when you're in a codependent relationship.
We've set up the scenario here. And once you see this pattern of being codependent, how does a person change this?
Yeah, it's hard to do. And one of the thinking of some people is that you have to leave the relationship. And I would say, especially if you're in a marriage relationship or in a family, you can't leave a family, a member. I mean, you can go away or not speak to them. But I would say you don't necessarily have to break up a relationship or leave a relationship, but you do have to work on making a lot of changes. And honestly, most people need help from a therapist or a counselor in order to change, because you have to break these old behavior patterns, and they're not easy to break. And so you have to learn to do things differently and not do that helping that is over the edge for that person. Part of the work, as we mentioned, is to set up good boundaries and then develop your own identity apart from that person. Mm. Have you known people that it seems like when they're away from that person that they're in a relationship with, they just don't even know who they are? They don't know what to do?
Yeah. I don't mean to laugh, but it can be, for lack of word, pathetic to see them, because they are so miserable and outside of themselves.
Yeah, and think at the core of that, again, is there's just a really unsettled feeling of who you mm-hmm. are. So it's important, if you're in a codependent relationship, to spend time with relatives or friends or family, sort of broaden that circle of support, and just try separating yourself from that person for a period of time and see if you can feel okay when you're a little bit apart from them. Again, you don't necessarily have to break off the relationship, but if it's really, really unhealthy and it's not a marriage, you might want to break off that relationship and try to get into a healthier relationship.
Is there work that needs to be done regarding your original family? And what I mean by this is coming to grips with the past, or grieving the past even.
So I'm going to get a little shrinky here with this, but part of it is that a codependent person usually has to let go of these childhood hopes that they still have of having the perfect love from their parents, you know, getting that perfect love, and they right. never really got it. So instead of grieving, they're looking for that kind of love. So they expect to either be cared for and loved and accepted, you know, unconditionally from others in the way they wish their parents would have done with them. And so they're in that relationship trying to get that. And yet, as we know, Chris, that no person is going to make up for the loss and the disappointments that you had in childhood. The better strategy with that is just to grieve what you didn't have, recognize the unhealthy pattern, and say, you know what, with God's help, I'm going to break that pattern and I'm going to make some changes.
So it's okay to visit the past here, get a little historical, and deal with it so you can move on.
I think the benefit of the past is that you're looking at the pattern. What pattern did I bring in from my original family to my current relationship? Mm-hmm. And if you don't look at that, it's hard to make a change because you don't know exactly what you're changing. So I think that's where it can be very beneficial.
We hear so much about being codependent with addiction. And can you apply this specifically to addiction?
So this is tough, and this is where I have seen this in my practice so many times, where a person has an intimate relationship with an addicted person, and you'll see certain kinds of symptoms that begin to develop, and it's almost like the addiction itself, where the person becomes more tolerant, mm-hmm. they're in denial, they're compromising their value systems, they're not taking care of themselves as well. They often feel trapped. They feel like they're a victim, and they might even be making plans to get out of that relationship.
Can you quickly go back and explain what you mean by increase in tolerance?
So what I mean for that is, for instance, the excuses from the dependent person get more and more accepted. Mm-hmm. So let me give you an instance of an alcoholic might say, oh, I can handle drinking. I can still go to work. And just because I pass out at night doesn't mean I have a problem. I'm not hurting anyone. So that's a common thing that you'll hear from someone with alcohol problem. And over time, the codependent person begins to accept that, and they accept more and more of these excuses. And it's sort of like you're justifying in your own mind, well, maybe this is okay.
Right. Well, this is the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and we are getting into the nuts and bolts, breaking a codependent relationship. We need to go to the break, but stay with us as we talk more about how to help someone break free from codependency.
Are you a mom or a dad trying to do your best to raise a healthy weight child in an unhealthy eating culture? Do you often struggle with how to respond when your child asks if she is fat or if he needs to lose weight? Do you wonder what is normal and how do I best impact my child and his or her eating habits? Well, hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and my book, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, teaches parents how to raise healthy kids in an overscheduled, fast food, video game world by making simple choices, easy changes, and instilling good habits that will improve everyone's life today and forever. Winner of the Mom's Choice Award, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, will give you this confidence, the confidence you need to take charge of your child's eating and raise a healthy weight child.
Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World. Available on Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com. And available online where books are sold.
Need help navigating complicated relationships? Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, provides practical advice for everyday living. Visit her website, www.drlindahelps.com, for individual help. Blogs, videos, podcasts, books, it's all there and free for you. DrLindaHelps.com for your appointment with a relationship doctor.
Take Dr. Linda's conflict style quiz today at DrLindaHelps.com. That's DrLindaHelps.com.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Don't forget you can follow Dr. Linda on Twitter at Dr. Linda Helps or Instagram at Dr. Linda Mental. And you can always listen to the show on the archive page at MyFaithRadio.com. And Dr. Linda, in our last few minutes, let's talk about how to help someone who is codependent.
So when we face this unfinished business that we've been talking about of our past, and we don't want to blame or attack people, Chris, I want to be really clear always that when we're looking at things that happened in our original families, the purpose is not to blame or to attack our parents because they usually do the best that they can do.
Right.
But we're again, we're just trying to understand what kind of pattern did I bring from that original family? How is that sort of playing out in my current relationship? And how is it affecting that other person? And if you're struggling with, I just didn't get the right parenting and I'm kind of looking for that in another person, I would just encourage you to really look at God the Father, because he's the only perfect person you're going to find, right? The only perfect parent that you're going to find. And he's the one who created us. And as we come to him and we get to know him, then we learn to trust him and we can take our deepest needs to him rather than taking them to another person who might constantly disappoint us.
Mm-hmm. The Bible's help to those who feel the need to control others is self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit. You can see Galatians 5:22 for that. God's grace enables us to live self-controlled lives.
That's really true. And here's a great verse to remind us of that. This is Titus 2:11-12. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age. In fact, the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:12 that he will not be mastered by anything. Do you love that? He's not going to be mastered by anything. So like him, when we are in control of our own feelings and our own behaviors, we can give to others out of a position of strength and not weakness. So it's really important to get in control of your behavior and your reactions to other people rather than trying to control other people.
I think we should realize that doing someone a favor is not necessarily a sign of codependency, and doing good when you freely choose to do it is from godly strength. But doing for others what we cannot do and do not wish to do or cannot afford to do is motivated by weakness and is not of God.
That's a really good point, because we don't want to tell people to stop being kind to each other, right? Helping each other.
Usually not, right?
Yeah. So one of the fallouts of codependency is that you feel anxious a lot because you're constantly trying to control the other person. But again, I'm going to take you back to the scripture where God tells us to cast our anxiety on him. He says in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So the core thing here we really want to get in this program is codependents need to understand they're not responsible for fixing their loved ones. And since their focus has been clouded by their loved one's behavior, they're going to need this assistance and this help in directing them away from that. And what we're saying is direct your concerns to God. Talk to God and let God help you with that so that you can get stronger in your own feelings and thoughts.
This focus on Christ is critical because it has to do with where we find our identity.
Yeah, and our significance definitely comes from being in Christ, not in another person. So again, core, having that central relationship with Jesus Christ is the most effective way to overcome codependent relationships. Isn't it interesting that usually that's our solution, is really that relationship with Christ? Because he says in John 6:37, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away.
Then we can find our approval from God. He doesn't want us to be subjected to abusive and controlling behavior from others in our life. We can set healthy boundaries and live our lives according to his principles and guidelines.
And dealing with those unclear boundaries and low self-esteem, again, that's so much easier when we're dealing with Christ. You know, I'm just going to say, Chris, I wrote a little booklet called Breaking Free from Negative Self-Image that might help a lot of people with this program today. It's, you can get it on Amazon.com, but it helps because it gives a lot of scripture in there about who are we in Christ and where do we find our acceptance. And it reminds us, as 1 Peter does, that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that we may declare the praise of him who called us out of darkness and into his wonderful light. So knowing who we are in Christ really makes us powerful in him. And in Colossians 2:9, we read, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness of Christ, who is head over every power and authority." It's a great scripture.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Linda, you wrote a book. It's called We Need to Talk. So you know a thing or two about confrontation.
Yeah.
And you always tell us to confront people in a loving yet powerful manner.
And this is what's hard. This is this we need to talk conversation with someone who's codependent is very difficult for the person to do. So again, we're going to say identify that pattern. Make sure that you are talking to that person. And if you're not getting anywhere, if you're not getting through this, then I would really suggest that you go into a professional Christian counselor of some type and you get some help with that. Because, I mean, all of us have issues in our life and things that we have learned how to do that we're having difficulty doing. So we really want to help you not live in a codependent relationship, because in its extreme forms, codependency can lead to severe depression and in some awful cases into suicide. So we don't want you being codependent in any kind of relationship with an addiction or some negative behavior that's really causing problems. And those wounds from the past that you might have are needing to get some healing. And so we're going to, again, recommend that if you're struggling, you've listened to this program and you've thought, I don't know, a lot of this sounds like me, or I'm really identifying with the things I've been hearing, then I would say get help, maybe go to a support group for other people that are struggling with codependency, and remember that you're just not powerful enough to change anybody. Only God can really give you that power to overcome, but he can do it. And so the message of today's program is one of hope. So if you're having problems, get out there and get some help. And remember, it's the Son who sets us free. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer and our social media director, Norm Mintel, our engineer and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show a conversation every weekend. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.